So yeah, before I jump into my message this morning, I just wanted to share with you real quick. I think it's important that we encourage one another and pat each other on the back and those kinds of things. And I drove down to Racine on Friday afternoon, had a Board of Ministries meeting yesterday. I was down there all day long, got home late last night. But what I wanted to share with you is that, you know, we've got two gentlemen in our churches, one at our Menominee campus here, Pastor Brett, and one at our Wheeler campus, Pastor Ryan, both of them who are licensed ministers in the Church of the Nazarene. And each year they go before the Board of Ministry, and the Board of Ministry asks them some questions: how are you doing, how is ministry going, things like that, to encourage them, to help them, to make sure that they're staying on track with their studies and all of those kinds of things. And so we were down there yesterday, interviewed both Brett and Ryan, and just want to say I'm really, really proud of both of them. I think they're both doing a great job. I really love to see the growth that's happening in their lives, and I'm not the only one that's noticing. I'm just here to tell you there are other people who are noticing and mentioning to me, and that is just so exciting for me to hear. But then to sit with the Board of Ministers yesterday and to vote unanimously to recommend that their licenses be renewed for another year, that's such great news. That's so exciting, and I'm so proud of them. Amen? Amen. Yeah, feel free. Give them a round of applause. They put in a lot of hard work and even work behind the scenes that we don't see. And so so happy to have them and to be able to work with them. So just wanted to recognize them today. So we're going to jump back into the first chapter of Mark this morning. In just a moment, we're going to read Mark chapter 1, verses 35 through 39. If you'd like to open your Bibles there, you can, to follow along. We'll have the words up on the screen. But I want to talk today about, again, we're still in our series, Faith Prints. As followers of Jesus, we want to be walking around the world and leaving not just footprints, but faith prints wherever we go. The evidence that we've been there, the evidence that God has been there because his people have been there, leaving faith prints wherever we go. Now, I want to talk this morning just a little bit about being consistent in our faith. As disciples of Jesus, being consistent in our faith. Two main reasons that I see people refusing to have anything to do with God and or the church. Now, I'm not going to quote a study to you or data or anything like that. I'm just talking to you from my own personal experience, the conversations I have with people, the things I see in the world, and I would bet that if we did look at the data, we'd be pretty close on this. But the two main reasons that people don't refuse to have anything to do with God or the church, number one, they ask the question, why would God allow, and some of them would say even cause, the bad things to happen in the world that happen? You may have heard that before. I know I hear it all the time. Why does God allow or cause these bad things to happen in the world? We're not going to cover that one today. That's a message for another time. But the second reason, this is the one we're going to talk about a little bit this morning. The second reason would be, they say, I have been hurt in some way by someone in the church. And what they're talking about there would be perceived, at least perceived, hypocrisy. I have been hurt by someone in the church. Now, perception is reality to the person perceiving, right? So if a person feels like I've hurt them, in their mind, I've hurt them. Whether I feel like I have or not, I've hurt them. And I have to deal with that. I have to think about that. If I want to be a witness to the people around me, the people that I come in contact with each day. So today we're going to talk about that second. We're going to take some time and examine our faith and our discipleship. We are going to take some time to take responsibility for our own witness. the way that we respond to others, the way we act and carry ourselves in day-to-day living? How do we as followers of Jesus Christ, remain consistent in faith while living in a world that is incredibly inconsistent? That's the tough part, isn't it? The world around us is very inconsistent. And the world around us expects us to be very consistent. As we go out into the world and we claim Jesus as Lord and Savior, as we go out into the world and we say, I'm a follower of Jesus, they expect us to be very inconsistent. Now, we can do one of two things. We can say, well, that's not fair. That's a double standard. Why am I held to a higher standard? You know, God dealt with me about that when I was a very new Christian. My friends, the people I hung around with, all of a sudden, I found myself being convicted of things that I was doing that I shouldn't be doing because I'm a follower of Jesus now. I made that decision to follow him and to follow his word. And I kept asking, God, this isn't fair. How come I have to do this and somebody else doesn't have to? How come I have to do this and they're not living like that? How come? And God says, hey, they didn't choose to follow me. You did. I mean, that's exactly how he responded to me, very simply. They didn't choose to follow me. You did. What do we expect from the world? From people who aren't following Jesus? We expect them to not adhere to the same rules, to the same God, they didn't choose to follow him. We did. And as followers of Jesus, he asks us to live differently. To live differently than we did when we were living in the world. So I'm going to ask you to stand with me here for just a moment. We're going to read together our passage of Scripture, Mark chapter 1, verses 35 through 39. I'll read the first verse, you read the next. And it goes like this. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. And when they found him, they exclaimed, everyone is looking for you. So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. Gracious Heavenly Father, once again, we just come before you this morning. We ask that you would speak to us through your word, that you would give us wisdom and understanding and encouragement, that your spirit would speak to each one of our hearts today. And again, we trust you. We trust you with your word, and we trust your word. And these things we pray together in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Yes, you can be seated. The first thing that we want to talk about as we look at this passage of Scripture, how do we, as followers of Jesus, remain consistent in faith? And the first thing that we need to do is maintain constancy. That's kind of a different word, constancy. You want to say that with me? Constancy. Yes, constancy. We want to maintain constancy. Loyalty. Faithfulness, discipline, routine, habit, constant. Something is constant in my life. It is consistent. It is loyal. It is a routine. It is habit. It is discipline. It is all of those things. We want to maintain constancy. If we were to back up just a little bit in Mark chapter 1, we would see that Jesus was at Simon and Andrew's home. And all the people, it says all the people heard that he was there. And all the people came to hear him teach and to have them heal them and cast out demons and all of those things. Everybody came. It sounds to me like Jesus had a very, very busy and exhausting day. You know how that is, right? You're around people all day long. talking. You know, you get together with one of those, for one of those family reunions, right? You're there for hours and hours during the day, setting up and talking and catching up and doing the things that you do when you're around people. And, you know, you really haven't exerted that much energy physically, but at the end of the day, you just feel exhausted, absolutely exhausted. Jesus was there. He wasn't just interacting with people. He was ministering to people. And one of the things we know about Jesus is when he gets around people and he sees their needs, he has compassion on them. He wants to meet those needs because he knows that he can, by the will of his Father and through the power of the Holy Spirit, he knows that he can and he wants to meet their needs. So what I would expect to read next, because this is what I would do, right? What I would expect to read next is that Jesus shut off his alarm and he pulled the curtains closed on the window and he crawled into bed and he decided, I'm going to sleep in as long as I can tomorrow. I need my rest. I'm going to even forego a big breakfast that might be made for me. I'm going to sleep in. I need to recover. I need to re-energize. That's what I expect to read, because that's what I would do. Shut off my alarm. Get some sleep. But what does the scripture tell us that he did? In verse 35, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, went off to a solitary place where he prayed. He had to actually get up. He had to put on his clothes and get ready to go, and he had to walk somewhere. This is one of those times when, as I'm thinking about this, Jesus getting up and getting ready to go, my oldest daughter, Jessica, she would tell me, walking is therapy. Walking is therapy. And as I've talked to people at Arbor Place, when I've had an opportunity to go there and teach and share with them, they talk about, I ask them, what are some of the things that you've started to do while you're here that have been helpful? Many of them will say, I go to a quiet place or I go outside and I walk around and just get a chance to think. Jesus is developing these disciplines, these same disciplines that, or he's maintaining these disciplines that he is asking us to do as well. We're called to follow his example, to become more and more like him, right? As followers of him, that is implicit with becoming a disciple, becoming more and more like your teacher, like your master, like, well, in this case, our Savior, becoming more and more like him. He got up very early while it was still dark. He left the house and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Jesus knew that if he was going to continue to do the work that God had sent him to do, if he was going to continue pouring into other people's lives, if he was going to continue emptying himself, this is that place where we have to recognize and realize that Jesus is fully human. He still needs to sleep. He still needs to eat. He still needs to recover. He still needs to be re-energized, just like every one of us does. We need our rest. We need to take care of ourselves. We need to maintain constancy. Jesus knew that if he was going to continue giving, continue emptying himself, continuing to meet other people's needs, physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, he would need to receive himself. He would need to be filled back up. And so we see him not shutting off his alarm and sleeping in as long as he can. We find him getting up early in the morning because he knew. He knew there was more coming. He knew that there was more to do. And he needed to be prepared for that as well. But he needed to be re-energized from what he had just experienced. He needed to be filled. I'm reminded of the passage of Scripture in Deuteronomy, chapter 8 and verse 3. It's one of the passages of Scripture that Jesus quoted to the devil when he was in the wilderness being tempted for those 40 days, and those 40 days had come up, and Satan comes to him and says to him, hey, aren't you hungry? Turn these stones into bread so you can get something to eat. Hey, aren't you tired? Shut off your alarm and sleep in as long as you can. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 3 says, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Our sustenance, our strength, our energy, that refilling comes from God. Now it does come from him through food, through sleep, through disciplines, all of those things. But what we have to recognize at the end of the day is it all comes from God, first from him. He is the one who created it all. He is the one who established it all. It comes from him. So it maybe gives us just a little bit different sense, a little different perspective. When Jesus is teaching his disciples how to pray, and he says to them, pray like this, our Father in heaven, holy is your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. So as I pray through that prayer, and I'm practicing the presence of God, all of a sudden that takes on maybe a little different perspective. God, thank you for everything you've provided to me. Thank you for the blessings. Thank you for providing for all of my needs. God, would you fill me up and give me what I need today? Food, clothing, shelter, energy, wisdom, whatever it might be, Lord, and you know best what I need. Would you help me in that today? Give us this day our daily bread. Because like we read in 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 3, and Jesus knew this better than anyone. Jesus knew this and practiced this better than anyone. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. Amen? He will. He is faithful. We need to maintain constancy. God is constant. God is faithful. The same yesterday, today, tomorrow, right? That is the God that we serve. And it's because of his constancy, his faithfulness, that we then, because his spirit lives in us, we can be constant as well, faithful as well. And not only refueling from, but also refueling for. Not only refueling from, but refueling for. Because if we were to go a little bit further than past this, we see all of a sudden that Jesus is going around and preaching the gospel, going around and continuing to cast demons out of people. We read this story about him healing the man from leprosy. See, Jesus isn't done. There's more left for him to do. It could be kind of easy to get caught up in kind of relaxing and celebrating and just kind of basking in the accolades, right? Jesus goes out in a solitary place and he's refueling from that day before, but he knows that there's work to come. And it's important that we have this perspective. Because if we are only refueling from, we can easily become isolated. We can easily become self-centered, concerned only about our own well-being and forgetting completely about others. And we see by Jesus' example, he was always concerned about others. He took care of himself, but he was always concerned about others around him as well. And so when we are only refueling from thinking about it that way, we can become very self-centered. It's about me and not so much about anybody else around me. And if we are only refueling for, only looking ahead, only thinking about what there is left to do, then we can become prideful. We can become self-reliant. Our identity and our fullness becomes about what we accomplish, about what we do. And pretty soon we get burned out. And we're not, again, in both cases, in both of these cases, if we only have the perspective of being filled up from or for one or the other, in both cases, we're forgetting about others. And we begin just thinking about ourselves. And that's not how we're supposed to be. That's not how we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be thinking about others. So we recognize in this, as Jesus goes out to pray, as he calls us to that same type of constancy, we recognize that God is capable. God the Father is capable. He has all power. He has all resources. He has all wisdom and understanding and imagination. And he is more than willing to share that with you. And he's more than willing to share that with me. He is willing to share himself with us, those things that we need to be the people he has created us to be and to do the things that he's called us to do. He is capable. Ephesians chapter 3. Verses 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us. That's one of those phrases we should be highlighting or underlining in our Bibles. That is at work in us. Recognize that. He is at work in us if we are availing ourselves to him, if we are asking him, if we are participating with him, at work in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. God is capable. So we want to maintain constancy, and we want to develop maturity. Develop maturity. Maintaining constancy and developing maturity, they kind of go hand in hand. I mean, as you're doing one, you're accomplishing the other, and as you're accomplishing the other, you're doing the one. It's kind of, they work together that way. Maintaining constancy and developing maturity, it's like routines. In our lives, routine is good. Routine is good. Most of us find out the older we get that when we get out of routine, that's when things just kind of start feeling really kind of messy, kind of ick. Is when we really get out of routine. Now, we talked about it last week. How to process, manage, and even embrace change. We know that change is coming, so it seems kind of like an oxymoron talking about constancy in the midst of change, but there are things that can remain constant. Even in the midst of change, as I'm growing in my faith, I'm still reading the Word, the same Word. And I'm setting aside time to do that. And even in those times when I kind of get out of the normal routine of reading the Word at a certain time in the morning or at a certain time in the evening, I can still, okay, I know that my routine is off, but I know I still need to read God's Word. So I carve out some time during the day because I'm out of my routine today. And so there are some things that remain constant, right? Like we see Jesus here going off and praying. He's developing disciplines, taking time to do this. He's also setting some boundaries in his life, right? Setting some boundaries. I know that I have this work to do. I know that things are going to come up today. I know what my Father has sent me to do. So, but I also know that I need to have this time with him. How do I do that? How do I do that? What is important? What is a priority in my life? Well, being with God has to be one of those priorities in my life. So I carve out time. I make time each day. This is important. The same way that I find ways to eat. So when I left on Friday at noon to go down to Racine, it's a long drive down there. Man, it seems like almost the other side of the world. Like, wow, yeah, anyway, I'm out of my routine. I'm not going to be sleeping in my own bed. I'm driving most of the afternoon. I'm out of my routine. Guess what? I still ate 3 meals on Friday. Now, I'm not going to tell you that they were all good meals. You know how that travel food can be, right? They're not all good meals, but I ate 3 meals. I found a way, when my routine was off, to eat 3 meals. I also found a way to get into God's Word during that time, because I know that that's important. We prioritize things. Spending time with God, Jesus saw that as vitally important. And so even though he was exhausted, we're guessing a little bit at that. It doesn't specifically say that in the Word, but we're guessing that he's exhausted at the end of a long day. He still gets up very early in the morning and goes away from that house to a solitary place to spend some time with the Father. So he's developing some boundaries, and we need to do that too. Develop some boundaries, not just the routine, but to develop some boundaries, because you know how easy it is. Oh, I'm sitting down to do my devotions and somebody calls. Oh my goodness, I better call them back. I better answer that phone call. I mean, I have to do it. Or answer that text, or check Facebook and make sure everybody's okay. Or make, you know, that one post I put out there today was really, really cool. So I want to see if anybody responded to it or liked it or any, you know. You know how it goes. We can get wrapped up in those things. And the next thing you know, it's like, wait a second. That time that I had carved out for God, it's gone. We have to set some boundaries. We have to make some rules that say, you know, when it's God's time, it's God's time. And nothing, barring an absolute emergency, is going to carve into that time. Take that time away from me. And that is part of developing maturity. You see, as Jesus is out there praying, we read in verse 36 and 37, and this is a couple of those verses that we read, at least I read, and I just go, of course. Of course. Here I am praying, and of course. You know, Simon and his companions went to look for him, Jesus. And when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everybody's looking for you." Of course they are. Of course they are. And it feels like that, doesn't it, sometimes? Every time I'm in my quiet time. Every time that I've said, well, I'm going to do this, or I need to do that. Every time, of course. Everybody's looking for you. Everybody needs you. Need. Right? It's a good thing that he got up early. Because everybody else was exhausted too, and they shut their alarms off, and they stayed in bed. So at least he got some time with the Father alone. And so when they came and they said, "Everybody's looking for you," he had already spent his time with the Father. He had already had his quiet time. He had set those boundaries so that and made a way. He's developing that, and he calls us to that, developing in our maturity. So we have choices to make every day about what our priorities are. We have choices to make every day about the things that we're going to engage in, whether they're healthy or unhealthy for us. We have choices to make. We have to develop that maturity. The people were coming back for more of what Jesus had given them the day before, and the disciples were ready to give them what they wanted, or at least for Jesus to give them what they wanted. That's why they were looking for him. See, there will always be demands. There will always be responsibilities, places to go, things to do, people to see. There will always be those things. And I think each one of us have done this in the past. You know, we have something to do around the house, and we say, oh, it'll be there tomorrow. And we do something else. Now, we don't want to get in the habit of doing that to where we just keep kicking the can down the road, right? Because pretty soon it's not just that to do, but it's a whole lot more to do because we didn't get to the things that we needed to do. But there is a time and a place for us to say, there are always things to do. There are always demands. There are always responsibilities. We could fill up our lives 24/7, 25/8, 26/9. I mean, you know what I'm saying. We could fill our lives up with the demands of others and all of these things that we feel like we have to accomplish. Otherwise, somebody else is going to suffer, or I'm not going to feel as good about myself, or whatever it is that's driving us to do. There's always going to be these things. And so we have to manage that. We have to develop in our maturity. We have to prioritize in our lives. What are the things that are important? And we do it all the time. We have to. You know, well, I can't do that because I need to be at one of my kids' games. Or I need to go to their play. I can't do that because it's been a while since I spent some time with my wife, and she needs some of me as well. Or I can't watch that program tonight on TV because I didn't get a chance to be with God today, and I need to be with. We have to make those kind of choices. We need to make those kind of choices. Now, the one thing that I want to remind us about right here as we talk about maturity, it's a passage of Scripture that's become kind of a foundational passage, a life passage for me. And I'll share it with you, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. So if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. And I bring that up here in this part because it can become easy either to get so wrapped up in demands and so wrapped up in responsibilities that, well, I'm doing fine. Until pretty soon I'm not doing fine. Because I'm just doing, going, and I'm not taking care of myself. I'm doing fine until I'm not. The complete opposite of that can be true as well. Well, I'm taking care of myself, and I'm doing fine, so now I don't need to do those things anymore. I'm fine. I don't need to read God's word. I know it. I've read it. I'm fine. I don't need to spend that time with God like I used to because, well, I'm fine. And pretty soon you find yourself empty. You find yourself doing, saying, being ways that you don't want to. If you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. Jesus always maintained these disciplines throughout his life and his ministry. And I want to just share with you a few passages of scripture. First of all, I was thinking about this when Jesus, even when Jesus was just 12 years old, and they had gone to Jerusalem for the Passover, and mom and dad and the rest of the caravan had left to go back home, and all of a sudden, 3 days down the road, they realized Jesus isn't around. Didn't he come with you? Didn't he come with you? Let's go over and talk to Cousin Martha or Uncle Joe or whomever. Is he with you? No, he's not. So they went back and they found him at the temple. And in Luke chapter 2, verse 49, Jesus says, "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" Even at the age of 12, we see Jesus spending time with his Father. Luke chapter 5 and verse 16, "But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." Mark chapter 6, verse 46, "After leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray." That time that Jesus did this throughout his life and ministry. That is an example for us. A couple other verses that I just want to share with you as we see the benefits of spending time with God. In Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 4, we read, "The sovereign Lord has given me a well-instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being instructed." That is a person who has spent time with God each day. Lamentations 3, verse 22 and 23, "Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." That is the God who interacts with us, who is constant, who is capable, who gives himself to us. And in Jesus' life, we see that he always trusted his Father for everything that he needed. He always trusted his Father's will and purpose and the Holy Spirit's presence and power in his life. And Jesus always trusted his Father. "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." As he prays in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says to God, "If you could take this cup from me, but not my will, your will be done." Jesus is willing. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, "For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form." Jesus is willing. Are we willing? Maintain constancy, develop maturity, and then practice responsibility. Practice responsibility. In this, I hope that we're seeing some balance, developing, maintaining, practicing. In verses 38 and 39, Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled through Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. William Barclay makes this comment. I love this. He says, "Prayer will never do our work for us. What it will do is strengthen us for the work that must be done." Prayer will never do our work for us. It will strengthen us for the work that must be done. So as we spend time with God, he strengthens us, he enables us, he raises us up, he gives us what we need to recharge, to refill, to be healthy, but also then to pour out, to do, to live our life of faith out in the world consistently. So there are three things that Jesus never did. Three things that he never did. He never separated words and action. So Jesus didn't just spend all of his time praying. Jesus didn't just spend all of his time teaching. What we see in that passage of Scripture, it says that, so he traveled throughout Galilee preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. So he not only talked, but he did. He didn't only spend time being re-energized from, but being filled for the work that God was calling him to do. He never separated words and actions. There's a time for praying. There's a time for teaching. There's a time for worshiping. There's a time for doing. James chapter 1 and verse 22 tells us, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. The second thing that Jesus never did, he never separated soul and body. He never separated soul and body. Christianity, followers of Jesus, we preach and work for the good of both. We share the gospel and we work for the good of both body and soul. It's important for us to recognize that. We want to see people get saved. We want to see people know Jesus. We want to know, see people come to faith. Like James says again in chapter 2 and verse 16, if one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? What good is it? When we share spiritual food with somebody, but refuse to share physical food with them when they're hungry. It's often been said, that whole idea that when somebody's stomach is growling, it's hard to hear anything because it's being drowned out by the growling stomach, right? He never separated soul and body. And he never separated heaven and earth. He never separated heaven and earth. Heaven is a constant hope for which we look forward to. Heaven is a constant hope for which we look forward. We look forward to that day when heaven and earth come together again. When Jesus returns, when things are made new, restored the way that they were supposed to be at the beginning. We look forward to that. But while we look forward to that, and that is our hope, we live in this world. We interact with people out there all of the time. We are called to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. And we are called to share Jesus, to be witnesses to others. And quite often, that witness is our consistency in our faith as we live our lives out there committed to Christ. We live in this world. John chapter 17, verses 15 and through 19, Jesus is praying for his disciples, and he says to God, he says, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. See, God is at work in our lives. The Holy Spirit is active. He has the will and the power to transform the lives of people. If we will continue to seek him, if we will continue to respond to him, if we will continue to allow his grace to work on our lives and continue to respond to it. It's a relationship, right? As I call on his name, he pours out his grace, and that grace does a work in me, his Holy Spirit, that transforms me. And so I continue to submit myself, surrender myself to that grace that is constantly at work. 2 Corinthians 3:18, and we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And so I want to challenge us today to be consistent in our faith, to maintain constancy, to develop maturity, to practice responsibility, so that we can be the people God has called us to be, to love God, to love people, and to share Jesus. Amen. Would you stand with me and we'll pray this morning as we close this time together? And I would just invite you to just open up your hearts and your minds to what God has for you. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. If anybody would feel like they wanted to come up and pray at the altar or to be prayed with, I'll be here. But let me pray with us this morning. Lord Jesus, we just come before you this morning, and we know that each day we need your presence in our lives. We know that we need the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we take this moment right now, I guess, to give you permission to do with us what you will. God, would you just continue to work in each one of us and help us to develop those boundaries and those margins, to those disciplines, to carve out that time to spend with you so that we can be filled from the things that we've been doing and for the things that you have us to do. Would you just fill us up with the power and presence of your Holy Spirit this morning? And we just take this opportunity, Lord, to praise you and to thank you for the example that you've set, for the word that you've given, for your very presence in our lives. We honor you, we worship you, we praise you, we bless you, Lord, because you alone are worthy. You alone are worthy. You are worthy of it all. And we're so grateful that you have allowed us to be a part of who you are and what you are doing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the healing that has happened in our lives, for the freedom that has happened in our lives. And if there is anything this morning in any one of our lives, Lord, any obstacles, any barriers, any struggles, anything that's binding us up, we pray today in Jesus' name that you would help us to overcome those things, that you would help us to find the freedom that only you can bring. And so we submit those things to you. We confess those things to you. We lay those things down before you this morning in Jesus' name. And we just, again, ask you for your help. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And for those who don't know Jesus today, who don't know him as your Lord and personal Savior, I would invite you to pray with me right now. I would invite you to pray with me that Jesus would be your Lord and Savior and that he would begin to teach you. Won't you pray with me this prayer? God, I recognize that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. And I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that Jesus died on the cross and that you raised him from the dead. I want him to come into my life and to help me right now, to help me be a follower of Jesus, to help me to be a Christian, to help me to live the way you want me to live. And so, God, I pray for the gift of your Holy Spirit in my life to teach me, to guide me, direct me. I take this opportunity. I consciously choose to commit all my life and will to the care of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And it's in his name, the name of Jesus, that we pray that prayer. Thank you, Jesus. It's in your name that we pray this morning, the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and who reigns and who's coming again. Amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. Good to be with you this morning. The Lord bless each one of you. Have a great rest of your week.